When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey guys, I'm Lydia.
Hi, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Adam. Let's talk Hoya.
Hello, everybody. Annyeong.
Hola.
Hello.
Today, we have some Hoya news.
Oh.
In the world of Hoya, you didn't do your thing.
I was trying to remember what I usually do.
Las noticias.
I was going to sound like it,
but you looked at me like, just hold the cat. I got this. Like, just, I'll get it. And then you didn't do it.
I couldn't remember the words.
En el mundo de las flores de cera.
Hey,
en
Siri, este día. How do you say breaking news in Spanish?
In Spanish, breaking news is noticias de última hora.
Oh, ew. She said it like the Spain Spanish. Noticias okay. de última hora.
Barcelona.
I'm dead.
I feel like there hasn't been a lot of Hoya news this year, which is fine, but...
Is it?
It's fine.
Do you forgive everyone in the Hoya world?
I didn't mean for these two things to match up, but they ended up matching up on hand pollination and Hoya's pollinating in general. So if you all follow Stemma Journal, their Facebook group, they have a Facebook group called Stemma Journal. At the beginning of July, they held a live discussion with Farley Buddy Quattro, who was in their most recent article that had came out with Stemma. And he is a gentleman who successfully hand-pollinated his Hoya. And there was a whole segment in the journal of how he did it successfully and just his personal research on what he did and methodologies and things like that. But they held a official live discussion through Stemma Journal. And so you can go onto their Facebook group. Mark Randall and Rachel Collette Conroy held a live discussion with him. So I thought it was a good one to read through, especially if you're just interested in knowing more about hand pollination or even just want to read about the discussion. So...
Wow. Or to feel like it's okay that you haven't done it yet. You're not a failure. It is very difficult.
Yeah.
Because that's what I took from it. I was like, all right, well, maybe I should stop being so hard on myself.
Like the scale of how much you have to do it is, I think, a lot more than people realize.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's a good one. If you're interested, it's on the Stemma Journal Facebook group. And then as I was looking at that, I had... read about someone sharing an article that published in February of 2023, and it's basically on pollen germination. And it's an article, it was on the ontogeny of the Pollinium in Hoya carnosa provides new insights into microsporogenesis.
It's wild how the pollinium work, like creating little tubes that like go out and like then the pollen travels down those tubes. It's just wild.
It really is. And so this one though is behind a paper wall, which means you have
a paywall.
It's behind a paper wall, so you have to Kool-Aid man through it.
Oh yeah.
It's behind a paywall, so you do have to pay for it to read it, but you can at least read the abstract for free. yeah. which is what I am going to do. So
also I have heard, I told this to these ladies, I have heard that if you just message or email the authors of the paper directly, which I think on this article has, you can email them, contact them. A lot of times they will share it because they're not making any revenue from the paywall. It's usually different other companies that are making revenue from that, and they just want people to read their studies. So if you have the time and the courage, just send them an email and maybe they'll send it to you for free.
Yes. So, yeah. So that was some Hoya news.
Oh, I need to change those buttons.
Las noticias.
But today we're going to talk about a fun little topic on all of the misconceptions, misadvisements, wrong tips that we have seen or heard of just throughout the years of our collecting of Hoya.
Yeah. And this is not all encompassing. Mm-hmm. This is not backed by any thorough, deep, complete dive of research. It is very, very
just
what we have experienced, what we have seen.
3 to 4 years, 5 years of collecting.
Yeah.
Just tips we've seen, advice we've seen, even like tips and advice that we've seen when we first started that we were following.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, oh, that was not right. And that's why my Hoya died. So
what's the first thing, Lydia?
I think one of the big things for me when I first got into Hoya was in so many forums, but also in like various articles that I was looking up and reading about, would always state that Hoya were slow growers. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, even getting my Hoya, like when people would just be like, oh yeah, they're just really slow growers. Like, because mm-hmm. I would complain. One of my first was the Obivata. That I had talked about in a prior episode where I bought it for a secret plant, a gift, and I kept part of it. And it just didn't grow. And people are like, oh, yeah, they're slow growers.
Yeah. And I remember, like, even aeroid people, that was one of the reasons that they would say, oh, that's why I don't really like Hoya, or I don't get into Hoya because they're kind of slow growers.
Yeah.
Yeah, your mite-infested Hoya is probably worse slow growers.
Facts.
So that was one of the ones that I remember just distinctly in my mind.
Yeah.
Always reading about or hearing from people when I was first getting into Hoya mm-hmm. and just thinking, oh, Hoya grow really slow.
Yeah. And kind of in line with that, you always hear they're slow growers and they're succulent like, or they're like succulents. They require the same care. Okay. All I know is I am to this day murdering every succulent I've ever bought. Yeah, I am over here keeping Hoyas alive. So no, they are not succulent like they. And if you treat a Hoya like a succulent, it's probably not going to make it.
No.
No, it's not at all.
No, that one, that advice, I feel like was one of the first pieces of advice I ever read about was that Hoya were succulent like. And that was so damning for me.
Mm.
I remember killing multiple Hoya that I would get like in a big box store because I would think that they needed to be just completely neglected.
Dried out completely.
Because mm-hmm. yeah. I feel like part of succulent care is neglect. Don't water, let them dry out completely, which I don't even know if that's correct succulent care because I've never kept one alive. But like in my mind, when people say grow like a succulent, like that's what I'm thinking, yeah. you know?
Which is probably not accurate because, no. again, we've never kept succulents alive. We're over yeah. here. Also, like, every time I've seen, like, thriving succulents, it's been in California or, like, all these humid places.
Yes.
And if you tell me, like, to grow a succulent here, I, like, leave it exposed to full sun and it's roasted and toasted by noon.
Yeah.
There's something with the succulent lobbyists because they're in all the big box stores all over the world and everyone's like, oh, I want a succulent for my desk. Like, they are making bank because we're all just killing these succulents and we all just keep buying them. Like, yeah. I know that we probably all started like in our dorm rooms having succulents.
That was my first plan. Yeah. A succulent in college was my first plan.
Yeah.
That I bought myself. I was going to grow an echeverria to the size of my head and I don't have any echeverrias right now.
No.
But then like succulents, there are hardcore succulent collectors. And some of them yeah. are worth like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, like it gets into like the aeroid Hoya. Yeah. Like, you know, every species. Genus has yeah. like that kind of base of people, you know?
Crazy. And not the Koreans really being into them and smuggling those up the wazoo. But anyway.
She stole that from Bad Seeds, the podcast.
Oh, yeah, I did.
It's a really good episode. Listen to you guys. It's better than ours.
Okay, but first of all, what's a wazoo and how do you get something up there?
We can show you.
Okay.
You need lots of oil. Okay. But yeah, definitely no. Do not treat your Hoya as if they were succulent. They will. No. You will get pregnant and die. That's a Mean Girls reference.
Yes. Wah, wah, wah. That was a big one. But also,
Sorry, okay.
I think the other thing when you're getting into plants is trying to figure out, okay, like how do I need to fertilize this plant? Like, what do I need to do? And when I was looking into different fertilizers and things like that, I remember reading people always saying, like, don't fertilize during the winter and only fertilize a couple of times during the spring. And then that was it. Yeah. But honestly, now, I mean, I fertilize my Hoya year round.
Yeah, so. Me too. Well, because we grow in hydro, so mm-hmm. we're always giving them nutrients.
Yeah, or even if you like grow plants, whatever plants you grow, people tell you not to fertilize or like these plants don't even grow in the winter. You might not see the growth. It might not be like getting full and luscious and blooming, but it could be putting out roots. It could be building like the system to get ready to bloom. And now we've learned that some Hoyas grow more in the cold than in the heat. So not fertilizing in the winter isn't actually a thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and a couple of my Hoya I found out only bloom in the wintertime too. So then for those, I want to support them with nutrients during that blooming season because I want to see the blooms, even though like the IMO8 smells like trash.
Speaking of fertilizing though, I don't know if this qualifies. This doesn't qualify as in like misleading advice, but it's definitely something I never don't do anymore. The Miracle-Gro spray.
Oh.
Orchid spray.
Oh my gosh.
I used to just walk around just
I mean,
like you were Oprah.
Like you get a squirt.
And I'm like that still.
And that stuff, like on Amazon, you had to buy. You had to buy like a 15 pack. You couldn't buy them individually. So literally, I remember going through like Lowe's, Home Depot, Fry's, like everywhere, trying to find that stuff. Yeah. And whenever I'd find it, I'd buy like 5-6 of them because I was spraying that when I first got into plants and they said mist your plants every morning. That was me, but I didn't miss my plants anymore. I was like Miracle-Gro every morning,
orchid,
you know?
Spray.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I do think it probably helped.
Yeah. I don't think it hurt the plant unless you were doing it right before they were going to get light shined on them, which causes burn. Now I've learned. But I was going to say, I literally just cleaned my garage on Saturday and I found 3 full bottles of that. So I'm going to use it. And then what I do is I use those to mix in like the alcohol and water spray or like any other type of sprays that I make myself.
Because it is a really nice fine mist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the bottles. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I used to do that all the time.
Same, though.
But my Hoyas were in soil, so I was like, maybe it was helping because I wasn't actually, you know, I don't really fertilize when I have my soil plants. I forget to, but I want to.
Yeah, but kind of in line with that, what is the myth that Hoyas take in nutrients through the leaves or that they don't take nutrients through their leaves?
They do. They do take in nutrients through their leaves.
But a lot of times people think they don't. So like they always think like the nutrients always have to be through like the roots or the bottom. And Hoyas aren't like that. They'll take them through the leaves.
They'll take it any which way they can get it. But yeah, that was the reason for doing the spray is because that's what everyone said is like they're epiphytes. They're not root feeders. They're mm-hmm. foliage feeders, which they're both.
Yeah. I think like if necessary in nature, when they're growing epiphytically on trees, then it's necessary, right? Because they may not be getting the nutrients that they need through their roots. So
yeah.
So then they need the nutrients that way. But I feel like since we grow hydroponically, we have a lot more control over our nutrients because, you know, pond doesn't have any kind of nutrients. It's pH neutral. And so we have more control over that. And so since we grow hydroponically, I don't know. I just haven't felt the necessity to do a foliar spray, because then also it's getting all over the shelves and I have like glass shelves and some of my things are in cabinets. And so I've just kind of stopped doing it over time.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I used to buy a bottle of that anytime I saw it. So whenever I was at Fry's doing grocery shopping in their little plant section, I was like, yoink.
It was like, it was literally like finding gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if it's actually useful for orchids or if it's like a lie too. If you're an orchid enthusiast, let us know.
I think it is.
Because I've heard for orchids, the thing is, people buy orchids because they're blooming, but then they never bloom again. And so they throw it away. But the thing that a lot of orchid growers don't know, because they're not like true orchid growers, they just like bought the plant because it was pretty, is you have to fertilize them for them to bloom again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe it is useful for them. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Let's Talk Orchid. There's your daily FYI. Orchid fact of the day.
Okay, but what's another one?
Okay, this next one is legitimately one of my biggest pet peeves.
Oh, what is it?
My dog is literally just parkouring up my leg to get onto my lap. Sorry. Might I? Do you want to say hi to the... Do you want to say hi? Okay. That Hoyas have to be a certain age to bloom.
Mm-hmm. I literally... Because I was looking up articles, like trying to find ones that I had read in the past. And I had found one, and literally it said on there, Hoya have to be an old age to bloom.
Yes. And I think that was just people trying to make themselves feel good because they couldn't get their Hoyas to bloom. But no, it is not true.
And so I feel like that's why, you know, when I was...
Did you just say this to somebody?
I didn't say anything. It's because she knows I'm counting her literallys. And I'm like, I'm waiting for it. Because I'm like, I'm holding out two fingers waiting for her to say it one more time. So I can be like, stop saying that word. You knew that, right? I don't even have to say it to you.
No, I was going to say literally.
But you said it like 10 times already. So no more using it today.
But I feel like that's one of the main reasons why I became attracted to, not main reasons, but one of the reasons that I was attracted to foliage. And I would never even consider, oh, what do the blooms on this Hoya look like? Because I would read those articles and think, oh, it's going to take forever for me to get a bloom. Yeah. So why am I going to even be concerned about what the bloom is going to look like, you know?
Bro, when I used to shop for Hoya, you know, when you get into like those, the overseas, the import websites, and they always showed like the blooms, and I was like, I don't care about these stupid blooms because I'm never gonna see them. I want to see what the leaves look like, because sometimes like the pictures of the Hoya would only show the bloom.
And I feel like a lot of overseas sellers show a picture of the blooms, and really it's really an American thing to show pictures of foliage only without the bloom. Because I've even seen videos of like the Swedish Hoya Society selling their plants, and the pictures on there is just the bloom picture, you know? So.
And they also all have the same style tag. So I'm like, is there a website they're getting this from?
Or maybe they made them and there's like a catalog or something.
There might be a catalog somewhere.
A Hoya bloom catalog.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be bad anyway.
So yeah, the age thing really does bother me, because I have had propagations grow a peduncle and flower in my prop box. I've also had ones that had a peduncle on them and reflowered, but like I've had ones grow a peduncle and flower.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an age thing, you mm-hmm. know. It's a right conditions thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or I've even seen people like buy a cutting, and instead of like growing a leaf, it grows a peduncle and flowers. It can happen. I've had Hoyas that I've had for over 3 years and they still haven't bloomed. That doesn't make you a bad Hoya parent. That doesn't mean anything. And I think that's what's nice about Hoyas, that their foliage is nice and their blooms are nice. So like you can still enjoy the plant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some plants are just harder because I know I was watching one of Miro Basie Plants YouTube videos, and it was when he was doing a Hoya haul and he got the Hoya micro dwarf. Mm-hmm. And they're still trying to decide whether it's a Hoya or a Deschidia. But that was published, or it was found in 2015, and people have been trying to actively bloom it so that they can publish it and know what to categorize it as, and no one has bloomed it all of this time. Wow. So that's like professionals, yeah. I'm assuming, who know what they're doing.
All the conditions.
Yeah, and still nobody has gotten a bloom that anybody knows of. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because like you don't want to say that that's completely wrong, because I'm sure that there are some Hoya that like, yeah, they need to mature enough to bloom. But yeah, I don't know. That one does kind of bug. That does irk me, that that myth.
But I also feel like, you know, when I was first getting into Hoya, I would always Google and try to look up on articles how, you know, like tips and advice and things like that. But then that slowly changed into Facebook group or online forums. And so what are some things that you guys have seen in some of these in these forums?
Well,
so much misinformation.
I know.
For those of us who also transferred over from the aeroid life or the other collection life, spent nodes.
Yeah.
And the like, the assumption that Hoyas were similar to aeroids in that sense of like, you can't propagate them too much because they'll stop being able to reproduce or regrow.
So I'm not on the Facebook groups that often, but is that one that people still are saying like, Hoyas have spent nodes?
You'll see it every now and then. It's not as common as before. But
when there was that spike in Hoya collecting, I want to say, when was that? Probably like 2020 is when it really just took this jump. There were a lot of people talking about that because I feel like that was also the time in like the aeroid world, people were selling wet sticks. And then the big conversation became, oh, I got this wet stick. Do you think this has a spent node? Do you think, like, there were so many conversations around spent nodes. And I feel like because of that, that mentality really kind of hovered into the Hoya world, and people just assuming because it's a plant that Hoya also has spent nodes.
Which, you know, not a thing. Because that big carnosa in the corner, if you follow it all the way down, one stem into the soil, like just one.
And I think that is also the amazing thing about Hoya is you don't have to worry about, oh, I cut it too many times and it's going to stop growing. I mean, there really is no such a thing. I mean, I remember when I used to import it and there were plants that I would get and you could see where the plant was cut like a dozen times and it was still putting out a new vine. Yeah. So
see, that is why I love Hoya more than aeroids, because like when I had aeroids, I didn't want to cut them because it always made it grow weird.
Well, you get that first tiny, tiny microscopic leaf.
Yeah, but then it's also like kind of shooting out the side. So then it's like, you know, it's got a curve in it. And look, curves are good sometimes, but I don't want that in my plant. You know, I want my plant to be
straight.
Wow.
Can't relate.
I thought you said straight wasn't the best.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, I like it.
Or straight ain't always
great.
No, straight is great.
You know what I mean, though. Like, it's like aeroids. When you cut them, it's just that plant is never the same. Mm-hmm. Unless you're doing a top cutting and you keep like. Yeah, I don't know. But Hoya is just so much easier.
Just so easy. And it's always shooting out new vines here and there. And I don't know. What's not to love?
And that's how you got your splashy gene to come back into that Obovata that I gave you. Because it was only a one node cutting.
Yeah. And I wasn't afraid to.
And you just keep snipping off.
She just kept hacking it and hacking it. And I was like, just leave it alone.
I know.
She was like, no, it will splash.
I'm always the, like, give it two or three more leaves just to see. No, she's cut right off.
Yep.
I mean, it worked, though.
Guess who got the cut this week? My fungi got a cut. The blessing got a cut. What else? Oh, Wilbur Graves got a cut.
Snip, snip.
Nope, they ain't got the splash, so goodbye.
Wow.
And kind of also in line with that, and something we've definitely seen in the big box store world, is like the selling of a single karyai leaf. And
yeah, that's a big thing.
I mean, they're not saying like this is going to grow into a giant karyai tree, but by selling it like that, you're kind of stating that it's going to grow. Yeah.
They're also not saying like, oh, this is a one season and done kind of thing either.
Mm-hmm. And you might, I've seen people keep those like single leaves alive for a long time.
Yeah.
And I've seen them actually grow, but
a new vine.
A new vine. But that's only if it happened to like get broken or cut off with a little piece of stem still on there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like they got extremely lucky on the one that they got. I want to
know, because is Costa Farms one that does that when you see it in the big box stores?
I don't know if it's actually Costa.
I want to watch the operation because those leaves are always like, catch me never having a karyai leaf be perfectly flat.
A perfect heart.
And all
perfect.
Of those are.
Yes. So
they like, probably I like, put them in between books.
Maybe.
They iron.
I want to know the growing conditions.
Or they have a mold for them.
But yeah, but if they did cut that leaf off mm-hmm. with just a little notch of the stem material, it could produce a new vine.
Because
and
the
I
plant,
have seen people do
the
that.
The plant wants to grow. Yeah. It doesn't want to just stop and be done, you know?
Yeah.
But if there just genetically isn't that material for it to do it, then it can't. You know what I mean?
Also, if you had one of these karyais as a gift, if you bought one for yourself and it did grow into a plant, I want to see it. So hit us up in the DMs or tag us in stories.
See, that makes me feel better about myself, though, because the reason I don't want to post the karyai I have is because the hearts are all wonky and they're all twisted.
Mine.
I mean, it's not like perfect and cute like the little single leaf ones, but
mine isn't.
Maybe they grow them in molds because
in molds
like shaping molds,
like a shaping
like when
mold.
People grow like because watermelons and hearts.
Yes,
and
like there has been a big thing happening in the fruiting community, I guess, where they grow their fruit in molds, so it grows into a specific shape.
Can someone make one of my face? Hola, Hoya friends. So we launched our Patreon, aka Peduncle Pals. It's been a joy connecting more with all of you, chatting in our Facebook group, and sharing more behind the scenes through our exclusive Patreon episodes every month. We're blown away by your support, and we're so grateful for every one of you that is joining us on this club. You can subscribe through our Patreon link through our Instagram bio, episode descriptions, or show notes. See you there.
Looking to elevate your gardening game this season? Well, look no further than Coast of Maine, your go-to source for premium organic soils for over 28 years. Organic approved and sourced from oceans and farms, their full range of garden and lawn products are designed to restore roots to the natural world.
So picture this, you're struggling with lackluster soil just like I did last year, and your garden plans just aren't thriving. And that was until we discovered Coast of Maine. Their products infuse my soil with the healthy microbes and nutrients it was craving, resulting in vibrant outdoor plants that practically thanked me for the upgrade.
Omri listed and crafted from natural ingredients like lobster shells and fish bones, their products not only nourish your plants, but also your peace of mind.
Are you ready to take your garden to the next level? Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. That's why their products are carried by local retail partners who provide advice and insight, not just found in big box stores.
And Coast of Maine knows, from beginning to expert, anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere.
Their products make organic gardening simple and approachable for everyone.
Let's get growing together.
Visit coastofmaine.com today. That's coastofmaine with an E.com.
I feel like one of the big things that I'm seeing and the whole like past year especially has been a lot of people asking about concerns that they have about their Hoya and they post a picture of it and automatically people are just saying that it's flat mites.
Oh my gosh.
That's been a really big thing that I've been seeing.
And you know what? For a while there usually followed that was a link to that video that I made, that live video I made, and like that thumbnail picture of me. And I'm like, oh God, please stop doing that.
Let me go replace that real quick.
No. I mean, there's good information in that, but literally not everything is flat mite damage. Like, It is really frustrating
and then it to would see be, that. And then it would be throw away or sulfur, or just saying automatically that it was flat mites.
People posting like blurry ass photos from their microscopes where you see little brown spots that clearly aren't a mite, that aren't a flat mite. And maybe it's just because I had so much like experience like searching for them before that. Mm-hmm. But it's just like a regular piece of part of the Hoya stem. And everyone was like, that's mite damage, or those are mites, spray it with sulfur. And I'm like, oh God.
Yeah, that's the thing. There were some people that posted about it, and then you could tell something was wrong with the plant. But then there were people that were honestly posting plants that looked perfectly healthy, and they just got a microscope and they happened to see something and think, oh my gosh, that's flat mites.
Throw it away. Okay, but Lydia would be the first person to see like a single mite and like toss the whole plant. Or you, Adam, you would knock all the roots off and reroot it for no reason.
Not no reason.
Yeah. This does throw remind me away, again. Again, let's talk aroids. When the virus mosaic
virus.
And you could not see a single splotch on a leaf. That's mosaic. It's going to infect the whole world, right? And the plants will all die.
Yeah,
and
don't ever touch that with anything.
You're
going
to look like that tomorrow because you touched it. And I was like, guys, really?
But then everyone would be like, get it tested.
Yeah.
But honestly, the only way you can get it tested is there's like a university in Florida that will test your plant for you. But the caveat is they need the whole plant usually.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, you get your plant tested, but you don't ever get your plant back. So you just hear like, did it have it or not? And then that's the end of the story. So yeah. It's like, well.
Listeners, if you have an Argentine princess and you think it has flat mites, I will test it for you. I need the entire plant and you're not going to get it back.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I know there was at-home test kits you could buy for that kind of stuff. I'm not sure accurate they were, but
yeah, I think
I forgot about the whole mosaic was thing. Low. I forgot about that, but yeah,
it was always like, that's mosaic. I remember that,
but everything on the Facebook group is mite damage. Like, and yeah, I will say for the longest time, we all had scarring on our leaves. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could think of at least three Hoya that I had that had scarring on the backs of the leaves, which is a very significant sign of flat mites.
And not just like an infestation at that point, because they don't get scarring until there's a significant amount of infestation of flat mites.
And in my brain, and what I heard others also say, was that was just like environmental scarring, like if a plant was outside or if it was cared for in a nursery that was outdoors, not just like regular, you know, stuff. And I was like, yeah, I mean, it makes sense if there's bugs or if it's like scraping, because I've had Hoya do that have been growing leaves on what they was pressing against a trellis. You know, it kind of creates a scar because it was trying to grow and it was pushing up against a trellis. So I was just like, oh yeah, it's no big deal. But now I know better. Mm-hmm. And if I saw that, I'd be like, oh, you might want to check it. But I don't know. I do get a little annoyed with the automatic of like spray it with sulfur. It's like, well, maybe confirm first before you just go through this whole thing that you don't need to do if it's not. Yeah. I don't know.
But catch us six months ago saying spray everything with sulfur because everything is covered in flat mites.
Yeah.
So this is us eating our own words.
But also,
put the sulfur down, guys. Walk away slowly. It's okay.
But definitely, you know, get yourself a microscope. But I mean, there have been people that have been getting the microscopes and then posting pictures of all sorts of things and saying, is this a flat mite? Is this a flat mite? But, you know, make sure it's moving.
Yeah.
And if it's just, you know, sitting there on your plant, not doing a dang thing, unless it's scale, it's probably not a flat mite.
Yeah.
But get that microscope. And I feel like, you know, new leaves or like growth points are always big targets. The woody parts of the stems underneath the leaves are always big targets. And then from there, you know, like we said last time, soft bristle toothbrush, give it a nice little scrub, and then just keep on checking it. And then get some bennies.
Yeah, get some bennies. Spray it down, get some bennies.
Like, and by bennies, we mean beneficial mites, not $100 bills.
clarification for those of us who walk around with those in our pockets.
Starts just
throwing bennies on my Hoya to solve.
Okay, actually, send me your $100 bills and I'll test that theory out too.
But you ain't getting them back.
You're not getting them back. This is sounding like a lot of solicitation for me.
Oh, but that being said, regarding Flatmite, this is a piece of information that I put out in the world too, which we might talk more about on our Patreon episode. But putting your plants in 120 degree water.
Mm.
Yeah.
What was it called? Sous-viding them?
Well, I use a sous-vide because the sous-vide maintains a temperature. Exactly what you set it at. So that's like a fancy little device for cooking food. But anyway.
A lot of people still suggest that for a lot of different pests.
Yeah, root mealies is one.
If you've ever been personally victimized by Adam's Hoya advice, please raise your hands.
Another Mean Girls reference. But I will say I did post about it on my stories, but it wasn't like I think you should do this. It was just a story about basically, this is where I think we need to realize our reach. I just was like, oh, this is what I'm currently doing. I'm going to post a photo.
And not knowing, just Adam.
I know.
Just Adam.
Not knowing that other people
I was doing it in the background, but I wasn't posting about it.
That other people are going to see that and then they're going to be like, oh, this is what you do. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm just figuring this out. I'm just trying to see if it worked. Spoiler alert, it didn't. It it effed up my plant. Thankfully, not to a point where I couldn't save it. I did save it. But, you know, I was testing it on a plant that I didn't care that much about. And yeah. I wasn't going all in. It was one plant. I think maybe two plants.
And that's the thing, though, about when you give advice. It's advice that you've tried. It's advice that you're trying or advice that you're, like, experimenting with. And you're not like everyone do this, not doing it. You're doing it and you're like, oh, this is what I did. And if you want to do it, cool. But you're not sitting out there like, this is the way it must be done. And I know this because I'm the Hoya inventor. Yeah. I think that's a big difference. If people want to listen to you, like, I'd rather try something you tried than like not.
Yeah.
But honestly, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't. Mm-mm.
And if it worked for you, that's great. But I did it on one plant, and not only did it cook the plant, literally cooked the plant, but a week later I checked it under a microscope and mites were crawling all over it still. So it did not. And it was like quarantined off in its own little corner, and I still kept it around and I still saw little eggs on the plant after I did the sous vide. And then a week later, I mean, they must have hatched because they're just crawling around just doing their thing.
Having a little orgy, hanging up the live, laugh, laugh signs.
You could have just waited till summer and then put your plants outside.
Because,
lordy lord, it's staying consistently at 117 this year.
Oh. Hey, but, you know, we don't have to turn the oven on because we can bake cookies in our car. We can fry an egg on the sidewalk, which, pro tip, I heard from someone, you shouldn't just put the pan and then crack the egg. You should warm up the pan first and then crack the egg and it'll cook and scramble. So.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Let's talk Arizona living, guys. Yeah.
That's like the fourth time I've heard that egg story. Oh. Lydia's like real. She's hyper fixating on that one.
Because I mean, every single year there's that week in Arizona where everybody is baking cookies. Everyone's trying to fry an egg and you see it everywhere.
You do. Yeah.
And usually the egg is never fully fried. It's a sunny side up. And that's just the reality every year. But then this year, for the first time, I saw a fully scrambled egg. In my how many years of Arizona? 18 years of Arizona living. And I was like, hot dog.
Yeah, you were.
They actually scrambled the egg and they were like, pro tip, warm up the pan first.
So,
you're welcome.
What I want to see is shrink-a-dinks. I want someone to put a shrink-a-dink on their dash and I want to see if it works.
A what?
You guys don't know what shrink-a-dinks are?
No, friend, that sounds dirty.
It is not. It was these papers that you could draw and you could with markers and you cut out like the Cookie Monster. Mm-hmm. And it was like this big. And then you put it in the oven and it shrunk all the way down to be this big.
Mm. All right, listeners, if you've got a shrinky dinky, let us know.
Now, when you say shrinky dinky, that makes it sound bad. Shrink a dink.
If you have a shrink a dink, let us know.
Anyway. Let's move on to another. See, I feel bad because I don't ever want to like have a negative vibe for the, but like, I feel like the next thing I want to talk about is something that really annoys me.
Let us know.
What? See, audience, you don't know what she says. We don't know what she says.
Yeah.
There's just, it squeals. Oh, okay. R2-D2, what?
What is it? What are you? What's next? What is she saying?
Okay. Okay, so there is this thing in Hoya foliage called splash. Okay.
I've never heard of that. What is it?
Splash is a mutation where an air pocket between the two layers of the leaf presents itself as a silver speck. Okay. We have Hoya,
which
mostly.
You should know because we have a whole episode out on that.
Yes.
I was being a learner. I was learning. I was letting him mansplain things to me.
So every Hoya has splash. I mean, mostly every Hoya could have splash, some sort of speck. But that is never enough to categorize that specific clone. And by clone, I mean just
the plant you're holding in your hand at that moment and looking at.
Like you can propagate Hoya to try to get a desired trait. And that would be like a specific clone of that Hoya. Anyway, most Hoya have these silver specks in them. Most of them have that mutation. But to be considered splash, like it needs to be
overabundance.
Covered. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and you will know when you see it. But you can't just take a Carnosa, this is what I see the most. People say, trying to sell Carnosa splash. And the thing is, I want to say this out here because I don't want anyone to buy these thinking like, oh my gosh, this is like splash, so it's worth more money, because it's not. But if it has like six specks on it, like that's a pretty normal thing for Hoya Carnosa.
Or even the other big one that I see is Opovada. Mm-hmm. And they always sell Opovada splash. And it literally just has some specks on it. And it could even be 10, 15 specks. And yeah, you can see
speckles,
them.
Freckles.
Yeah, it's more like freckles. Like if someone has freckles on their face. Yeah. But that's so normal for Opovada. Like any Opovada that you grow can get those freckles, basically.
I would be more interested in buying an all-green Opovada just because I've seen them all be freckly.
Yeah. But when you call something splash, that means like that the majority of the leaf is like covered in this silver mutation, these air pockets.
Because that is a mutation. It is a genetic characteristic that the plant has. So just because you buy a plant and it has freckles on it doesn't mean you're going to get that Instagram picture full silver splashy leaf, because I have an Opovada that I bought that is actually splashy. But even that one, every once in a while, it'll throw out a vine that's just green with some freckles on it. And I would not consider that vine to be splash.
No.
I would say technically that one doesn't have the mutation and it's just a green version of Opovada.
And if I know Lydia, she chops it right off.
I do. And then
it
doesn't see the light of day.
If it doesn't have the characteristic like covering the majority of the foliage or something, I'm not going to perpetuate that. Like, yes, it came from a mother plant that had that splash, but that cutting did not have splash.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to like warn everyone. Not warn, but like splash is literally my favorite mutation. Mm-hmm. I think if I had to pick one, it would be splash. Mm. But I don't want you to spend more money on something because someone called it splash. Like if it doesn't present those characteristics, like maybe the mother plant did, and maybe you could get that out of that cutting, but I personally wouldn't pay more money.
It's very unlikely.
Yeah.
Just because it came from that plant. It would be no different than purchasing a plant that didn't come from a mother plant.
And that randomly that mutated.
Right.
It's almost like the whole blue-eyed trait. Like the chances of like somebody having blue eyes are so low. Like there's no way. And it's almost like you're guaranteeing somebody's going to have blue eyes.
Yeah.
Like that's not how it works. And that's the thing. I think that's like it's not hurting anyone to call it splashy. But the problem is that a lot of people who aren't like super into Hoya, who maybe get into the hobby for the money, know that using those words like rare and splash will get them more money. And then like people who work hard spend their money thinking like, oh, this is a guaranteed thing.
Yeah, it's almost not. Like taking advantage of someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's possible to take advantage of people in this hobby. And that's one of the ways that we've seen it. And I'm not saying everyone who calls it splash is doing that. I'm just saying it does happen. We see it. And like,
it does get under my skin though.
Yeah.
I need to let it go. Cause that's like, why is it hurting? But I think it's the part of like someone getting taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I was a baby Hoya person and I didn't know this and someone called something splash and I have seen plants with splash before, I would be like, yeah, I'm going to spend more money on that. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to spend my hard earned money on that because it's going to be a certain thing.
That characteristic that you see on Instagram or,
and at the end of the day, it's nature. We can't control it. I have two AHO74s from Adam.
And they're
green.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those things came from mother plants who are practically fully silver.
Yeah. My clone of that plant just kept growing out green and I kind of just got over it.
Mine too. And now after, I feel like it's been a couple of years since the H074 craze, but now we know that there's multiple clones.
Yeah.
And there is a clone that is silver and more stable and consistently gives out the characteristic. But did we know that when we were first purchasing the plant? No, we didn't know. We just bought it thinking, oh, we're going to hopefully get that. But it's actually really rare to get it. And I mean, nobody knew until pretty
now
recently.
Now that we all bought these green.
Like, yeah. I feel like until like pretty recently. But if you still really want that, then seek out the clone that is stable and has the full silver leaves because it's out there now. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And if you have it.
Yeah. Slide into Jesse's DMs.
Just send me a picture of it. I don't want it.
But yeah, that splash one does irk me. I need to build a bridge and get over it.
No, but I think you're looking out for people.
Yeah, I want you guys to be informed. Mm-hmm. And I want people who know better to just stop doing that because there are people who know better that continue to do that. Okay, any more misleading things that we want to talk about?
Hoyas should be repotted every, 3-4 months?
Bullshit. I wish I had a bullshit button.
I have a bullshit button. You want to see it? I'm done.
So should Hoyas be repotted that often?
No, they actually don't need to be up-potted, repotted, or in any way moved from their home.
Yeah.
Here it comes. No. They do that when Angel Professional Jesse comes.
Well, no, that's the thing. Like a lot of people think that their Hoyas won't grow or they won't bloom because you're not like consistently moving them up in pot size, which is another common thing in the aroid world.
Mm-hmm.
Aroids like to spread out. They like to grow up or cling and stuff. That is not the case with Hoyas. Hoyas like to be root bound. Hoyas can sit in the same container for generations, as we've learned now from our listeners who have shared their family heirloom plants. And as we've seen in our own collections, I have Hoyas that I have never moved from one pot since I got them for more than 3 years. They've been fine. They've grown. They've bloomed. I've propagated them. They've, lived and died in the same pot. And I think that's another cool thing about Hoyas.
They've lived and died.
Yeah.
And I feel like besides...
And they didn't die because of not repotting. They died fully and wholly from my neglect.
But I feel like, besides your heirloom Carnosa, which is in that really, really big pot, like a lot of the other Hoya that you have, you've decided that 6-inch range is about the cat, like that's their forever home.
Yeah, I think the biggest... clear pots that I have, the net pots, is 5.5 inches. Mm-hmm. And that's where they will live.
Yeah.
But I mean, you remember when we were doing that Carnosa together, like I think I even said to you, like, this is the pot this will live in for the rest of its life. Mm-hmm. Like I'm never going to change that pot. So that's going to go to somebody when I'm dead and gone.
Mm-hmm. Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, I've got to be morbid like that.
But I mean, it's just not needed. And that pot is huge.
Mm-hmm.
But I needed a bigger pot to secure the trellis. But yeah, I think for the most part, Hoya, like 6-inch probably would be the max
Pot
that you should ever have a Hoya in. right?
I mean, also for me, for like space. So I'm not going to put it into something bigger, because if it's happy in that big of a pot, then why would I move it up? When if I moved it up, that would just require more space. Yeah. I don't have a lot of space, and there are a lot more hoya that I want. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there are people who, like, I do consistently move the hoyas that I just, like, want to get, like, ginormous. I will repot them in the hopes of, like, giving them more space and, like, more balance, especially if, like, I'm trellising them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll repot them for those purposes. But it's never for, like, I hope this grows if I give it a bigger pot.
And honestly, when you up pot it, it doesn't have to be much bigger of a pot, because, you know, if you think in the aroid mindset, I mean, you need to put it into something at least 2-3 inches bigger, because if not, you're going to be repotting that again in just a few months, or it's going to stunt its growth. But really for Hoya, I mean, you could do an inch bigger and that'll keep it happy for quite some time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, so don't stress on all those repots.
So all in all, you know, all we're saying is that why would you not love Hoya? They're just so great.
So freaking great.
Yeah.
Well, I hope y'all enjoyed listening about all the misleading care tips, advice, information that we've just heard about over the years and wanted to chat with you guys about.
There was a big one we didn't talk about.
What?
Maybe it's for Patreon though.
What?
The like giving Croniana more light would make it lacunosa. There was like a whole thing about like,
oh my gosh, the
less light would make it.
Yeah.
Heart shape is original Croniana. Apple shape is original lacunosa.
Well, hey, you just teased for our Patreon episode. So
yes.
If y'all's not a peduncle pal, and you would like to hear a little bit more of this controversial topic,
that is something that we
hop on over
and to our Patreon.
we're gonna chat a little bit about that in our after chat.
I feel like Lydia has thoughts on that.
I saw a light bulb go off.
I know. Yeah, and you know what? Catch us in a year having another episode where we're completely changing something we certified this year. So again, we are not experts, we are not in any way professionals, but we love studying trends and really speaking about our experience and what we see with our own special eyes,
and to normalize growing and changing opinions based on facts presented.
Yeah,
and just sharing the knowledge that we know as of right now. And if that changes and we find out something better, then we'll do another update episode like we did not too long ago, mid-year. This year we did a care tip update one too. So
Yeah. Things
are changing and we'll update y'all.
But head over to Instagram and follow us at let's.talkhoya and show us your carrier that you grew from a leaf if you did. Because I really want to see it.
And show us that obovada that actually has splash.
Yes. in general, follow us there. You're going to get some great content. But we also like to hear from you. So if there's any Hoya tip or advice that you had followed that was misleading, we want to hear about it. You can tag it. Tag it in your stories. Tag us. All your support matters. Leaving a review matters. Sharing with a friend matters. So just thank you for being here. And make sure you head over to our Instagrams as well. You can follow us individually. My Instagram is at NotToot.
I'm at thegreenplant.az.
And I'm at Perritos y Plants. Adios.
Año.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.